The title of my sermon today, you might recognize, comes from a song by a frog. In fact, if you are familiar with The Muppets and the Muppet movie, you'll know that this is the very first song from the very first movie and the very first scene of that movie, with Kermit sitting on a log in a swamp, and he's playing, he's plucking his banjo, and he sings, "Why are there so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide." It's a wonderful song, and it is a song that is about the past, but simultaneously it is also about the future. And for a long time I had misinterpreted this song as Kermit is singing. It seems at the very beginning he's asking this question of why are there so many songs about rainbows. But as I started to think about this song, these words are actually, I think, things that he has heard in the past. He has heard people say, "Why are there so many songs about rainbows? Rainbows aren't anything. They're just illusions. They've got nothing to hide. There's nothing to seek out with rainbows." Because right after he says rainbows have nothing to hide, he says, "So we've been told," right? "So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, that rainbows are just visions and illusions, and they have nothing to hide. But," he sings, "I know they're wrong. I know the people who say that rainbows are just illusions, that they're just visions and they have nothing to hide. That's what we've been told. And some people believe that, but I think they're wrong. Just wait and see. Because someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me." He goes on in the next couple of verses to talk about the stars that we wish upon, or the voices that call the young ones to adventure. And in each of these scenarios, he talks about in the past how there are those who would ignore these things, think that they're just dreams, that they're just fables, that these are not real. It's the same kind of people that will tell you that the things that you dream for in your life are just pipe dreams, just fantasies. It could never come true. This was the case for Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets. As he struggled through his young life to find his place, never quite fitting in an academic sense, but loving to entertain, to make people smile, and had this real knack for creating these puppets. But even then, he was, as some might understand it to be, a huge failure. Before anybody had ever really heard of Jim Henson, he had two shows, or he was rather on two shows, and in both of these times, they failed. He got fired from the one, and the second one got canceled. And it wasn't until a little group called the Children's Television Workshop hired him to be their puppeteer that we were blessed with characters like Bert and Ernie, and Big Bird, and Oscar the Grouch, and Kermit. And of course, then he goes on to create the Muppet Show, and the rest is history. But what's so great about this being the very first song on the very first movie is Kermit is kind of taking the same journey that Jim Henson went on, and sitting on this log and thinking that there is more to life than just being here in this swamp. That there's something else out there. That there's something there that he's But perhaps there have been other frogs that have told him that he's just chasing rainbows, that he's just a dreamer, and that a frog's place is in the swamp, not singing and dancing and entertaining people. And there's nothing worth pursuing. But he says, I know they're wrong. Wait and see. I tell you this story because it's one of my favorite songs, but also because it really ties into the psalm that Nicole read for us so beautifully this morning. This psalm, Psalm 126, it's a psalm of ascents. And there are 15 of these that are from the Psalms 120 to 134. And they call the psalms of ascent because each one features an image of stepping up or stepping towards God. And in this particular psalm, this Psalm 126, there is also a sense of the past and a sense of the future. It begins by praising God, saying, Oh Lord, we were when you restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like dreamers. It was like a dream come true for us. This wonderful thing that had happened. And most scholars will date this psalm sometime around the end of the Babylonian exile when the Israelites were allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem's walls. And so this psalmist is reflecting on that return and saying, it was so glorious that we have returned. But then right about the midpoint of the psalm, the tense changes from the past to the future. Because the psalmist says, we want you to restore our fortunes, like the rivers in the Negev, which is a river that kind of floods and recedes. And so it's this cyclical thing. And every time that it kind of floods, every time that it is rich with water, they are able to have crops. They are able to have prosperity. And every time that it recedes, they are not. And so they're asking God to restore the fortunes, just like you've restored the rivers that water our crops, the rivers that give us nutrition, that give us prosperity. It's not a psalm that's about conquering one's enemies. It's not a psalm about expansion. It's just a psalm about God asking God to take care of us, the way that God has always taking care of us. And there are a couple of wonderful images in this psalm as we hear these words of the psalmist. And it uses these wonderful images. And one of the images that I love that I put on the cover of the bulletin was that of sowing and reaping. And yes, I think that these can be taken very literally because it is very important as they sow the seeds that God provides the crops and the rain and the nutrients that will allow them to have the food that they need in order to prosper. But I also think that it is something that the psalmist is giving on a more metaphorical level, maybe even a spiritual level. Because they are sowing with tears, it says. They are sowing with tears. Which indicates that there may be some struggle or hardship for the people at this time. Knowing that water is such an important part of agricultural life, it's very interesting to me that the psalmist uses this idea of sowing with tears. So it is in there. Sowing in their preparation for the future, they're also in sadness, they're also mourning. But the seeds that they sow are in need of water. Probably not salty saline water that come from tears, but I think the imagery is there that they are watering their crops with their sadness. But soon they will reap with joy. The tears that they shed during the early part of this process have given way to laughter and to joy as they reap the benefits of their toil. Even though their toil was difficult, even though it was done with struggle, they are rewarded for their efforts and the fortunes are restored. One interpretation that I read about this says that it is through the joy, through the suffering, through the difficulty, through the challenges that God prepares us to receive joy. I don't know if I like that interpretation so much, even though I think that there's some justification throughout the history of Israel and even throughout the life of Jesus. But I think it might be too easy to justify our suffering and saying that, well, we have to suffer in order to experience joy. Maybe. But I prefer to think of it as we bring ourselves as we are to God. If we are struggling, we bring our struggles to God. If we are gracious, we bring our gratitude to God. We bring our whole selves and give it to God. And God, being God, will care for us. God will provide the means of growth. God will provide the nutrition, the nutrients that we need to grow. God will provide a means to end suffering. God will take care of you because God is good. As we think about our church on this day that we are calling Commitment Sunday as we make our pledges to support the church in the upcoming year, as we look toward the future, it's also very tempting to look towards the past. And I'll say there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking at the past. To remember how in times of struggle that the church has pushed through, has made it through difficult times, difficult periods. How the church has made it through when there have been controversies and divisions, and the church has become stronger through that. To look at how the work of its people, the confidence in God's plan, and the faith of the congregation, both in the church itself, but more importantly in God, all of these things have helped the church to be where it is today. But this is only beneficial to us if we connect it to looking to the future. Because here on this Sunday, I would say that we are also experiencing challenging times. We're experiencing difficult times as, after COVID, the culture of church, the culture of church communities has changed. The culture of coming to church on a Sunday morning has changed and has been changing for a time. And so, as we kind of make our commitment towards the future, as we sow these seeds, we might sow them with one or two tears. Maybe. But just like the psalmist said, just like the psalmists believed, they know that God was God. That if we bring ourselves forward and if we trust and knowing that God is God, God will give us a way to move forward. Now that doesn't mean that God will just naturally snap the fingers and everything will be restored and everything will be okay. But God gives us the means to move forward. What I love about this psalm is that the psalmist doesn't just say that we're going to sit here and wait. No, the psalmist says we're going to get out there and work. We're going to get out there and do what we know we have to do. And we just ask that you give us the joy that we need. That we ask that you give us the renewal, the restoration that we need. And the psalmist is very confident in that if they do the sowing, even if it is done in tears, that the reaping will be done with joy. So even though we might plant the seeds today, maybe not with tears, but maybe with some anxiety, maybe with some worry, maybe with concern, we also have to remember that we plant these seeds with gratitude, with hope, with dreams, with love. And this, I think, if we remember the words of Kermit, through this we will find that rainbow connection, that thing that makes us hope for the future, the thing that pushes us forward. Because we indeed, just like him, join with all of those who dream, all of those who love. This is our rainbow connection. And the people of God said, Amen.